Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, I was praying in the Spirit yesterday and just felt like the Lord just dropped something in my heart. I'm not quite sure how it's going to come out, but we're going to attack it. Amen. And I just want to talk to you about how righteousness brings assurance in your life. You could call it the assurance of righteousness and, you know, knowing that you're righteous and what it will do for you. I never forget, you know, the night that I gave my life to Jesus Christ, the thing that I noticed more than anything else was the peace that I had inside of me. The war was over. You know how the Bible says, well, you know, we have peace with God. Amen. We have the peace of God, but then we have peace with God. Right. We're justified by faith, and we have, because of that, we got peace with God. And I just remember sitting on my bed that night when I got home. It was a night service where I gave my life to Jesus. And when I got home, I remember sitting on my bed and thinking, man, I've never had this much peace in all of my life. You know, the war was over. The separation between me and God was gone. I was now righteous. Now, I didn't know all that had happened to me. You know, I didn't know yet. I was still a babe in the Lord, just newborn baby. I set out to discover and find out the things that happened to me, but the devil knew what happened to me. And that night when I couldn't explain it at the time, I can now, but I couldn't then, when I got home and I got sat down on the edge of my bed, in my bedroom, I saw a little imp-looking like creature go out my window. He didn't open it. He just went right out of it. And I thought, wow, that's strange. You know, what are you going to think when you're just born again? You haven't been born again about an hour and a half or so, an hour maybe, hour and a half, whatever it was. It's like, what are you supposed to think? You don't know anything about demons. You don't know anything about any of that. It wasn't until later that, you know, I got a hold of some of Brother Hagin's materials and found out, well, that's what that was, you know. Yeah. You know, that was a little demon. All I can figure out is when I walked in that room, he realized me and him were done. We weren't running around together. It took some of my friends a little longer to figure that out, but, you know, I was serious about it, and I wasn't coming back, you know. You know, I think they thought maybe I did too much drugs and had a, you know, one of those spiritual experiences. But no, I had life. Amen. Amen. But I want to talk to you about this because assurance. Let me know assurance. It's not who you think you are. It's not who people think you are. It's who God says you are.
That's right.
You know, people will label you a lot of things. I remember back in the fifth grade, me and some of my friends were gonna tear down the prom decorations in the gym. You know, they were having, it was prom coming up. You know, and of course we're fifth graders. We're not going to the prom. And but you know we had a middle school or we had an elementary school in our city, but it was too filled up or something, and so we had our class in a church basement, but we would go to the gym and all, and you know, and to eat lunch and stuff. You know, we'd go over there and walk over there, and they were putting up the decorations for the prom, so we decided we're going to tear them down. I don't know why in your fifth grade you feel like you got to do something like that, but it just seemed like a good idea at the time. And somebody told on us, and we got busted and so forth and all that. And I remember one of the teachers told me, he said, you're going to turn out like Adolf Hitler. I'm glad his prophecy didn't come to pass. Yeah. Amen. But it's not what people say about you. It's what the Lord says about you. And it isn't really... Now, the thing about what you think about yourself is the way you're going to live, but that isn't really who you are just because you thought that's who you are. Amen? So, our DNA is in God. Amen? Amen? You know, I mean, there's some people you can tell they're... You know, I've got two brothers... And if you put, well, one, you know, and you put our pictures up and put us side by side, or we're standing in the same room, I don't think you have any problem, you know, knowing that we're brothers. It just, the DNA is there. It shows. And we got God's DNA in us.
Amen.
According to the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not saying we're God, but we're his children, right? Look at this. I want to show you this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible says, for he hath made him, that's talking about Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, this verse is so powerful, but it's not popular. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? You preach that in most churches, and they will kick you out. If you went into a church, most, I would say, I don't know what the percentage would be, but the largest percentages of churches, even in our city, if I was to go there on Sunday morning and say, I'm the righteousness of God, they'd think, well, who does he think he is? The Bible says, there's none righteous. No, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. That scripture is exactly right. But we're not talking about ours. He gave us his. That's the whole story of Easter, right? That, you know, Good Friday's coming up. That's the whole story. He took what we were and made us what he is. Hallelujah. So his righteousness, whether we feel like it or not, whether sometimes we even act like it or not, that's who we are. And this is a revelation. Let me just say this to you. It's still not popular today. It wasn't popular in Paul's day. Did you know Paul got a lot of grief for preaching the revelation of righteousness? Now, once you think about it, you know, he had some real difficulty because he preached on we're the righteousness of God by faith. That did not go well. See, here's the problem that the Jewish people had, the Israelis at the time, that they had with this. They worked hard, at least some, at keeping the law. And you know what? That's not easy. How many have broken a commandment or two? How many have broken 10? You know, Moses did, didn't he? He got so mad he threw them down, broke all 10 of them, right? Well, how many have broke a commandment or two? How many have broken about all of them? I may not have broken all of them, but there's quite a few of them, all right, that I broke. Well, see, they based their whole life on what they did, what they ate. They couldn't eat but certain things, you know, and they couldn't do certain things. And you know what I'm talking about. And so here comes a guy coming along and say, all you got to do, see, they're working to be justified. They're working to be righteous with God. Now here comes a guy along and he's preaching, all you got to do is believe, have faith in Jesus, and by that faith you'll be justified and made righteous. And even the Gentiles can be made righteous. That really got Paul into some hot water. I mean, the gospel, if you preach the gospel, the pure gospel, you're going to get in trouble sometimes. Amen. Today, if you preach the word, there's going to be people that hate you. Even Christians. Amen. You'll get probably more flack from them than you will anybody. Amen. Because people get these religious spirits on them, and they just think that, you know, that it, you know, they know. And it's amazing to me. I saw the other day this young guy rebuking and kind of giving his take on an elder in the church who's been in the ministry for like 60-some years. He's an older guy. Perhaps everything he's ever taught or said wasn't correct, but who has ever taught everything perfect besides Jesus, right? And so this young guy, and my first thoughts was not good. It's like, who do you think you are to rebuke or to even question an elder in the church? Sit down, shut up, and be quiet. Amen. It's like people used to criticize, you know, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and people like that. When you get that many people saved, then speak up. But till then, probably best just to be quiet. Amen. And so, and I will give this young man credit. He did do it with kind of a gentle spirit in what he was saying. But I'm thinking, you shouldn't even be talking here at all. And he made this comment. He said, isn't there a proverb somewhere that says rebuke not an elder? I said, no, there's no proverb that says rebuke not an elder. There's a scripture that says it. Amen. All right. Now, but Paul got a lot of grief over this because he came along and he said, look, the gospel is a revelation of righteousness. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. In other words, the whole message of the gospel is not you dirty, filthy sinner. It's that Jesus Christ came. Amen. His whole purpose was to take you from that to make you the righteousness of God. Amen. That's the gospel. And it's apart from works. It's apart from the law. Amen. And that's what really got Paul in trouble with the religious people when he was saying it's apart from works, it's apart from the law. And I mean, even people that accepted the gospel, even some of them had trouble with some of the things that Paul said because they just felt like, well, we got to mix a little bit of works in here and a little bit of law in here. Let me tell you this about works. There's a lot of discussion about works. Here's the thing about works. We can't do anything to earn our salvation. But once we're saved, that salvation, if it's true salvation, will cause you to do great things. It'll cause you to want to do works for God. It'll cause you to want to live right. But you couldn't do anything to earn it, all right? So, and that's what James is talking about. Faith without works is dead. If you have true faith, if it's really Bible faith, you're going to want to do something. Right? If you really believe in certain things that the Bible preaches, you're going to want to act on them. And if you don't act on it, what you do is what you really believe. You say, well, I believe this, I believe it. No, you really, only what you're doing is what you really believe. And so this thing about righteousness, the fact that we are made the righteous of God in Christ, that should cause great assurance in our hearts. And I know, we know us, we know how, we know we are, we know our mistakes, we know our failures, but God sees us in Christ. You know what I'm saying? See, here's the thing about sin. The thing about sin is sin will let the devil in your life. You don't want that. Amen. See, righteousness doesn't come by how our conduct. Righteousness comes as a free gift. But righteousness affects our conduct. You understand that? See, grace doesn't give you a license to sin. Grace gives you liberty, praise God, to live for God. And thank God if we do miss it. How many are glad 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible? Anybody ever read that scripture? Anybody ever used that scripture? Right? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from what? All right, if He gets rid of all unrighteousness, what's left? Righteousness. Hallelujah, that's all that's left. So, and it isn't like when we sin, we lose our righteous standing with God. It breaks fellowship. How many know, like in a marriage, if you have a fight, it doesn't dissolve your marriage. It may dissolve your fellowship for a little bit. Amen. But it doesn't do away with the marriage. You're still married. Yeah. Amen. And the thing about it is this is what got Paul in trouble. This is what got him so much persecution. This is what got him, you know, stoned with stones. This is what got him all the things that happened to him was because of the revelation of righteousness that he had. Amen. He said, you know, the Jewish people at that time, the religious people, he said, you stumble at the stumbling stone, which is Christ. You stumble over Him. You've worked so hard to please God, and now here comes a guy come along and say, you can forget all that. Now, all you got to do is have faith in Him. And he's going into these places, man, that are cesspools of sin. I don't know if you've ever, and sometimes it's not even good to study some of this stuff, but if you've ever studied about the city of Corinth, it was awful. You think it's bad today? We haven't reached that bad yet. I hope Jesus comes back before we do, because it was terrible in the city of Corinth and other places. But I'm particularly thinking about Corinth was a very sexually immoral, so I'm not even going to talk about some of the things they did, but it was just terrible, awful. It's stuff that, you know, would even shock people today. And then Paul goes in there and preaches the gospel to them, and those people get born again. They get saved. And you can see why the Jewish people got, we've been trying to live holy all these years, and you're telling me they're right with God? Well, that's what Paul said. He said, the Jews that sought after it according to the law never attained to righteousness, but the Gentiles, which didn't, but believed the message of the gospel, they all got saved. They still needed some help, but they got saved. They still needed Paul. Paul had to chew them out. He had to call them carnal. He had to get on to them. He had to rebuke them. I mean, Corinth, if you read the book of Corinth and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, I mean, Paul is addressing all kinds of things. He said that, you know, he said there's things that shouldn't even be named among you. A guy living with his stepmother, Paul had to deal with that. But yet, in all of that, many of the Corinthians, because the Lord told him, he said, stay in this city. He said, for I have many people in this city, much people in this city. Stay here and preach. Isn't God good? I mean, he come after us crazy heathens. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't know it. I mean, I'm out doing drugs. I'm out blowing my mind. I'm taking trips and not leaving the planet. But yet God's chasing me. And he's saying, there's one of my preachers right there. That right there? He didn't even know his name tonight. And that's one of your preachers. God's good. Hallelujah. He sees not as man sees. Aren't you glad of that? Yes. Amen. Yeah. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 32, because I want to talk about this, about how we should have this assurance in our life. Isaiah 32, go there. I love the scripture. You know, we won't go to it, but 1 John that says, as he is, so are we in this world. Did y'all hear that? Yeah. Not we're going to be when we get to heaven. As he is, so are we right now in this world. And it's talking about judgment. And it says that, you know, that we can have confidence on the day of judgment. Hallelujah. You know, we can have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. You say, well, I'm just afraid to get before God. Well, if you're the righteous of God, you have nothing to fear. Now, you know, we're going to be rewarded for the deeds in our body. But, you know, someone said this one time years ago. I heard this. They said, if you make it to the judgment seat of Christ, shout. Yeah. You're getting in. Yeah. If you're at the white throne judgment, that's not good. Nope. But you and I are not appointed to wrath because of the blood. Right. Amen. Amen. Now, here in Isaiah 32, look at this, because I like this scripture. I've preached on this before, but this is a really good scripture. In Isaiah 32, verse 17, it says, the work of righteousness shall be peace. Well, that I can testify to that. That's what I got. I got peace. And the real peace, okay? None of this. Come on, I grew up in that. Peace. You know, the what were they, the VW, what were they, the vans, yeah. Right? Remember the hippie vans, yeah. The flower? Yeah, okay. Don't act like you don't know. Some of you old enough. No, okay. Some of you may not remember that, but the peace, love, you know. I remember Woodstock. I didn't go, but I remember Woodstock and all that, you know, peace, love, and all. You know what I'm saying? Just there is no peace outside of the Prince of Peace. That's just fake, phony stuff, and it'll turn on you in a heartbeat. Even at Woodstock, where there were peace and all, people got murdered and killed. I've been in the midst of all that stuff, and I know that's not real peace. Real peace, I found real peace when I got made righteous. Amen. So he said, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness. Notice this, and assurance forever. My people shall dwell in peaceable habitations, and in sure dwelling places, and in quiet resting places. I've got these words circled because they are the fruits of righteousness. Peace, quietness, assurance, sure or surety, resting. All these things are signs of the righteousness of God. Now here's the thing. Even if you've been made righteous, you have to know it. We have met people over the years that they're truly saved and they're truly born again, but they're still trying to work their way to heaven. And that is a frustrating place to be. And how many know you can know you're saved? I went to talk to a lady she was an older lady, but still sound of mind, just had limitations in her body, but sound of mind. And I went to the nursing home to visit her and to pray with her. And, in talking to her, and I knew her anyway, but I just talking to her and all, I knew she was truly saved. I could, because she had done what you're supposed to do, what the Bible says to do to be saved. She loved the Lord. But she said to me, I don't think that you can know whether you're saved until you die. And I'm respectful because she's an elder. I said, well, that's a little late to find out. You got to find out before then. She said, well, I don't know that you can know. I said, well, now wait a minute here. John said, 1 John 5, that we can know that we're the sons of God. Now see, here this lady is. She's at the end of her life. But apparently all her life, she's never had any assurance of her righteousness. Because she's been raised in this work mentality. And that, and works are good, but works come after you're saved. Not to get saved. Amen. You know, we had a guy, I don't know what's ever happened to him now, I haven't seen him in years, but he used to come to our meetings, especially when we were traveling, doing meetings, and we'd do meetings, and it was in his area, he'd come. And this guy always was bringing up his past. You know, what he did in the past. And, you know, I tried to help him and tried to tell him, you know, it's forgiven. You know what I'm saying? If you ask God to forgive you, he forgave you. Forget about it. Move on. Maybe you messed up, but who hasn't? I said, who hasn't?
That's right.
Amen. You know, we see sometimes ministers on TV that mess up and they shouldn't do that, but who hasn't messed up? It's just their laundry gets aired out in front of everybody. But anyway, this guy had messed up. And so it went on, it went on, it went on. And so finally he was in a meeting one night and he gets in the line for the same thing. And the spirit of Samson came on me. And I yelled at him. I said, you know what your problem is? He's just looking at me like, what? I said, you have more faith in your sin than you do the blood of Jesus. I can't help you. You got to have faith in the blood. It's power. It's cleansing power. That was a great song we sang tonight, that old song about the blood, because we need to know about the blood, right? So this thing about assurance, did you know the Bible tells us that the blood of bulls and goats in Hebrews 9, it purified the flesh, but the blood of Christ purified your conscience. In other words, the bulls and goats cleanse the outside, but the blood of Jesus cleansed the inside. Hallelujah. So we not, you know what I'm saying? You know, your house can be clean on the outside, but how many know you got to live inside it? You want it clean inside and out. And so the blood does that. It says this. In Hebrews 10, it tells us that we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Think about that. You know, it's just making reference to that Old Testament, because in that Old Testament, if you'd have went in the Holy of Holies, you would have died in there. Even the high priest only went in once a year with great precaution. He had to offer sacrifices for himself and then for the people. He had to get himself cleansed and then go in there and take care of the people. But under this new covenant, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That means nothing's off limits to us. We can come into the very presence of God and we'll live through it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, there's a lot of things we could talk about, but think about when Adam and Eve sinned. What happened? You know, when they sinned, the Bible says they noticed that they were naked. What happened? Their attention got off on themselves, didn't it? Now, they weren't so stupid that they didn't, you know, they weren't so ignorant that they didn't know. They didn't have any clothes on, but I think they were covered with the glory of God, see? And so they lost that covering, you know, and that now it's just them, see? And so God had to, you know, make fig leaves and, for, you know, clothe them, you know what I'm saying? And so, but here's the thing. The Bible says the Lord came down and he said, where are you? And Adam said, I hid. See, what's happening here? Sin consciousness, self-consciousness. I hid because I was naked and I was afraid. And God said, what you been doing? You know, what happened here? Well, what happened here was they lost their God consciousness and got their self-consciousness. And this is the way so many people are in the church today. They're just conscious of self instead of conscious of God. They're conscious of what they can't do instead of what He can do. Amen. So like I told you, I think it might have been Sunday morning, it might have been another time. But the first time I went to the pray for somebody that had open heart surgery, when I walked in there, I'm not kidding, when I saw them and they were swollen three times their normal size, they had tubes coming out, it looked like every place you could think of, and I saw them and they looked like to me, there's no way they're living through this. It's just like all the faith drained out, tried to drain out of me, because what was I doing? I was looking at my ability to help this person and I didn't have any ability to help this person. I had to correct that and change that and get that where I'm not looking at me, I'm looking at Him and His ability to help that person. And that person did. They did come out of it and did live for many, many more years. But I'm not saying it's because of my prayer. I'm just simply saying, I mean, I did pray for them and hopefully that helped. But I did have to adjust my thinking when I saw that, because it's just, I can't explain it to you other than it just seemed like I had a hole in me and all the faith just went and dried out. It's like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this. But have you know, if you can't walk on the water, you can't walk on the water. Does anybody understand that statement? If it's going to take God's power, what's it matter whether the sea's calm or it's really stormy? It doesn't matter. It's going to take God's power. So no, if this person would have had a hangnail, it would still take God's power to heal it. Well, I know it'll heal itself, but if you want immediate healing, it's still going to take God's power. So it doesn't really matter whether they're... It matters to us, but it doesn't matter to God. Now, we have to be like Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, and He said, Father, listen, this is His prayer. Father, I thank You. You hear me. I know You always hear me. I'm only praying this for those that are around me. Lazarus, come forth. I'm thinking, we pray more over the offering than that. You want to raise a guy from the dead, been dead for 4 days. And he's like, hey, I know You hear me, Lord. I'm only saying it because the people around me. Lazarus, come forth. I'm thinking, that's confidence. Yeah. I'd be like, hey, if you hear him scratching, roll the stone away. But Jesus is like, roll a stone away. Amen. How many would like to get to that point? but literally, Jesus, you know, He had the Spirit without measure, but He did say, the works that I do shall you do also. Didn't He say that? Greater works than these? See, in more, like there's more volume because there's all of us. I mean, we could be, that's one of the reasons to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? You know why God gave you the power of the Holy Spirit to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so I could speak in tongues? Well, yeah, but no, not only. So that you have power to be a witness. So you have more than just words. You got demonstration of the Spirit and power. Amen. Now, all right, let's go to, you get anything tonight? Yeah. Let's go here. We may close out here right here. We'll see. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want to talk about couple of verses there. 1 Peter, the chapter 1, first chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll see. Maybe this will be it. We'll see. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's go to verse 18. Let's go to verse 18. 1 Peter 1, 18. It says, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your vain conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. How many know it's His blood that redeemed you from all that mess you were living in? I talked to this guy about the Lord, and he gave me, you just don't get answers like this every day. And he said, I'll tell you what. He knew he needed to get saved. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, once I get my life cleaned up, I'm going to give it to Jesus. I said, that's not the way it works. I mean, look, you can't clean your life up without him. But, and I could, I'm not going to say I couldn't get through to him. I'm not saying that. But I'm just simply saying at that moment, he just stuck with that. Now, he did these things, certain things he did, you know, that he did. He said, once I quit those things and I get my life cleaned up, I'm going to start going to church and live for God. And I tried to get through to him. I said, look, man, you don't, that's backwards. Right? That's like going to a fireplace, an old-fashioned fireplace, and say, give me some heat and I'll throw some wood in. It's just back. It don't work that way. You got to throw the wood in, right? And then it'll give you some heat. And so that's kind of where this guy was at. It's like, okay. I'm going to back up here a minute. I didn't say this to him, but I'm just saying it to you. Okay, I'm going to back up. First thing we got to do is cast the spirit of stupid off of you. Once we get rid of that, maybe we can get you saved. But anyway. But thank God for the seed. Amen of the word. Amen. But with the precious blood. How many know we're redeemed by the precious blood? Now, here's the thing about it. When you go back in the Old Testament, and, remember the Passover. Y'all remember that? Y'all, how many saw the Ten Commandments? You know, the Passover. And we see that different than what it really is. You know, we think about where God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. We see it like God will just, he'll go by your door. But literally, when you study it out, what it meant was God, he said, I will pass over you. It literally meant he would hover over you in front of the door. And he said, and if you read it, you can get that because he said, and not allow the death angel to come in. I'll stand between the death. The death angel's going through here and he's going to kill all the firstborn. And if I'm not standing in your door, he's going to come in and kill. And if you don't have blood on your door, I'm not going to be standing at your door. Right? So you have to have the blood, and then I'll stand at the door, and I won't allow that death angel to come in. So, you know, the old timers used to talk about applying the blood, pleading the blood, and people made fun of that. I wouldn't make fun of that if I was you. I think I'd use it if I was you. I still use it today, where I plead the blood of Jesus over things. Amen. But here's the interesting thing. When the Passover, they said, get a lamb, 1 year old lamb with no blemish. So when they were setting up for the Passover, they did not inspect the people. They inspected the lamb. Yeah. The lamb had to be perfect, right. Not the people. Right. Hallelujah. See, when God looks at us, he's not inspecting us. He's inspecting the lamb. The precious blood, as of a lamb without spot or blemish. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad of that? Has anybody ever missed us that you got saved? Thank God for the blood. You know, people sometimes say, world thinks this way, well, you're just paying for your previous past sins and past life. Thank God I don't have to do that. You know, in the Old Testament they had, and I've taught on this some, it's been a long, long time since I taught on this, but I like this. In Leviticus, they talk about the scapegoat. And the Aaron, the high priest, would put his hands on this goat, on its head, and he'd pronounce over it all of the sins and the transgressions and iniquities of Israel. And then they'd take it out into the wilderness. By a guy would take it out there and just turn it loose to die out there in the wilderness. And so, in other words, it took all their sins and took them away, praise the Lord, from the camp and took them outside someplace else. Well, that's what happened at Calvary, praise God, Good Friday, you know, all of our sins were placed on Jesus and he bore them, Hebrews said, without the camp. Hebrews 13, that he bore that, he took it, he bore it. He took our unrighteousness so we could have his righteousness. And that's not, and really that's not the only thing he bore when you look at it. The Bible says himself, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Amen. Himself bore them. He bore them away. He took them away. He lifted them up. Praise God. He was our scapegoat. Amen. So thank God we have righteousness. Amen. Now there is someone who's the accuser of the brethren. Yes. And the Bible says, listen, the Bible tells us this, Revelation tells us he accuses us before our God day and night. He sees our imperfections. God sees us through Christ. But he accuses us. But the Bible says they overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Not by their own efforts, but by the blood. Plead the blood. I've told this story. You have to make up stories, new stories, to tell new stories, and they wouldn't be true. But I was reading a book. Somebody may have read this book. I read this book one time years ago. I read this book, and it was on the blood. And this author was talking about that she met this young lady, a teenage, maybe her 20s, and she had been a hippie, come out of that lifestyle. It was her lifestyle. And she told this author, she said, I had this unusual dream the other night. Now, she's just a newborn babe. She doesn't know much about, the word yet. She's just a newborn babe. But God speaks to newborn babes. I mean, all that. And she's just a newborn babe. And she says, I had this dream the other night. She said, well, what was the dream about? She said, I was at the gate of heaven. And I think she said either Peter or Abraham, I can't remember, was letting people in. And she said, I saw this person go up there and the gatekeeper said, well, what right do you have to enter in? And they began naming all the things that they had done, all the good works they'd done. And the gatekeeper, whether it's Peter or Abraham, I can't remember, said, access denied. And then she said, I saw someone else go before and said, I've done this, I've taught Sunday school, all good things, and this is why I deserve to be in heaven. And the gatekeeper said, access denied. She said, now is my turn to enter into heaven. This is a dream this young believer had, just a hippie, got born again. And she said, I didn't know what I was going to say. I hadn't done anything. Just be a hippie. Hadn't been saved long enough to do anything. Just all I've been is a hippie. She said, but what came out of my mouth? He said, when I got before Peter or Abraham, whoever it was, and he said, what gives you the right to enter in? She said, I plead the blood of Jesus. She said, he looked at me and said, enter in. Yeah. Well, that's a powerful dream. I believe it was a God dream just to show this new believer that, hey, it's the blood that makes you righteous. Amen. Sometimes we got to have a little patience when people just get saved, Man, I've seen young believers say things, do things, and like, some of the old saints been in the way for a while. Oh my gosh. Well, they gotta grow. They gotta learn. Yeah. I had to. How about you? Yeah. I remember I'd been saved for 7 months and I was at this leadership conference, Learning how to be a leader. I'm 7 months older than the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'm still sucking my thumb. And I remember at one of the meetings, they said, now turn around and pray for one another. And so we're praying for one another, the charismatic thing, And this guy starts praying for me, and he made me mad. He said, Lord, I pray all the worldliness that's still in him will come out of him. And I thought, are you kidding me? I don't drink Pabst any longer. Yeah. I don't smoke Colombian any longer. I'm out of the world, brother. What's wrong with you? But have you know, I got a feeling he heard me say things, he saw me do things, that he realized I still need help. But I didn't see it. And I'll tell you something about God. He's so good. He's so gracious. He doesn't show you everything that's still wrong with you at once. He'll give you 40, 50, 60, 70 years to do it. Little at a time. Amen. Because we'd quit if he still showed us everything that was still wrong with us. So after I grew a little bit, I got to thinking about this guy. I thought, he was probably right. I was probably saying things and stuff like that. Then you realize I still had some edges around me, But thank God for the blood. Amen. 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 All right. Can we look at one? We got a little time. Let's go to one last scripture. In the book of Hebrews, this This is something I want to share with you, and then we'll close tonight. Hebrews chapter 1, go there. Hebrews, the first chapter. Thank God we can have this assurance in our life that we're right with the God of the universe. Amen. But so many, God bless them, so many Christians don't have this because they never hear it preached. They never hear it preached. So, you know, I've been, you know, to churches when I was a kid, and it's like people were always rededicating. Always rededicating. And I guess if you need to rededicate, rededicate. But I think some of them had broke their rededicator. You know, but I think a lot of it just because they just never had this sense of righteousness. They just never knew who they were, never had that. And you know yourself better than anybody knows you. You know you're not perfect, but thank God for the blood. Yeah. Amen. And so let's go here to, and this may not look like it fits, but it does. Let's go here to Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 13, the Bible says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? How many, he never said that to the angels? Said he never said that to the angels? But he did say that to Jesus, didn't he? And Jesus said it to us. Come be seated with me. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? See, what's it talking about? Those of us that have been made righteous, we got this whole army of angels that are sent forth to help us. Yeah. Amen. In areas of salvation, in our salvation. And that doesn't just mean being born again. Right. Our salvation is more than that. Right? And angels can, I used to do this. I used to teach on angels a lot years ago. I haven't in a long time. But maybe the Lord will release me to do that because he spoke to me, I think it was 2001. I'd have to look at my notes. I think it was 2001. He spoke to me, said, I want you to teach. It was a Sunday service. He said, I want you to go in there and teach on angels this morning. And I thought, well, I said, well, Lord, you know, I've taught on that for several weeks. And I'm just kind of informing him what he doesn't know, you know, in case he doesn't know. You know, he is old. You know, how many know that? He's the Ancient of Days. And, you know, sometimes you forget when you get older. And so I'm just informing him that, hey, I've thought on that a lot lately, you know. And he said, I want you to teach on angels because, he said, because my angels want to be active in their lives in these last days. And then he said, there's going to be a great influx of angels in these last days. Not that he's creating more angels, but they're going to be more involved in what's going on in this earth because of our faith. Amen. Amen. And so, I mean, I feel a holy presence right now just saying that. There's going to be more involved. And we should expect, even though we can't see them, we should expect divine deliverance. In all areas. I'm going to tell you now, people will call you crazy for this, but I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it because this has been working for me for years. I've watched angels bring in finances to me. Mm-hmm. I can give you story after story after story where they help. Well, I didn't know they'd do that. Well, the Bible says they're heirs of salvation. No, we don't just order them around to do anything we want them to do, but they help us with our salvation. Yeah. They help us with our salvation. And I've told a story before, but I mean, every week I send angels out to bring in money. Every week. There's not a week goes by I don't do that. Every week. Sometimes a couple times a week I'm talking about that. But I remember one time we had this bill due, Phyllis and I, and it was, for us it was a lot of money at the time. And it was a four-figure number. We owed the IRS. And how many know, I'd rather owe my brother-in-law than the IRS. Yeah. And so, you know, it was just because of poor stupidity on my part, not putting money back, you know, going out to preach and getting these offerings and stuff and not putting personal money back. You know, I'll deal with it later. I need it now. And then after a while, the IRS says, we want ours now. You know what I mean? You know, they're gentler and kinder, IRS, but they weren't gentler and kinder in those days. And so I remember going to this church, and I walk into the church. I'm preaching there, you know, and I walk in, and I prayed before the service, Lord, I'm just sending the angels out to bring in the money tonight. We need this money. We need this money. I'll send the angels to bring it out, you know, and all. Of course, he can bring it any way he wants to bring it. I'm not telling him how to do it. But I'm just sending the angel out, angels out. I bind the devil. Devil, get your hands on my finances. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, God's going to bring it in this offering, okay? So I go in. When I walk in, they take me right to the pastor's office. We go to the pastor's office, and, you know, and then service starts. So he takes us out there, and I look out there, and it's a Friday night or something like that. And it's like, this isn't a very big crowd. And I thought to myself, there's not that much money in this crowd. That's what I thought. Don't tell me you don't ever have any carnal thoughts. That's what I thought. And then I caught myself and said, wait a minute here. I'm looking at the crowd. I'm not looking to God. I'm looking at the crowd. Amen. And I'm judging whether God can do it. How many know he can do it with one little widow woman?
Right.
He's got one biscuit left.
Amen.
And so anyway, I got a hold of it real quick. I said, whoa, here. No, we're not going there. I'm not doing that. And so I preach. Pastor takes up an offering. Service is over. They've got the offering in an envelope, you know. So we go out to the car. First thing, so we get out, open it up. This feels, open that offering up. What is it? It was $35 over the amount that I'd asked for.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So guess what? $35 in those days, you could go get a couple steaks. Maybe three. I don't know. Today, you just get look at the menu. That's all for that. $35 just to see the menu there, you know. But angels get involved. Because why? We're the righteousness of God in Christ. And we can have assurance in life that whatever we face, because we're God's righteousness, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his, not ours, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We can have confidence and assurance that whatever we face in life, we got assistance out there. I've seen angels assist in healing. So I never heard of that. Have you ever heard of demons of sickness?
Amen.
Spirits of infirmity?
Yes.
Well, if there's demons that can bring sickness, how many know there's angels that could bring healing? Matter of fact, one went down into the pool of Bethesda.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Stirred up the water. A friend of mine, you know, he had this lady in his church. He was having some female problems. And you know, he prayed for her, and her hand, they put a modesty cloth on her, and her hands are laying out like this, so you can see her hands. He said, I saw under that sheet, I saw it bouncing like that. He said, well, that's weird. Well, he said, so I didn't say anything to her that night, but, you know, because she was really under the power. He said, but a few days later, I said to her, because she went to his church, he said, what happened to you? She said, when I got slain in the spirit, she said, it's like an angel came and did surgery on me. She didn't see it, but she said, I could just feel it. And she said, all my female problems are gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He got in there and fixed it.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Well, I don't believe that. Well, don't worry about it. You won't be troubled with it. You know, people don't believe in Jesus. Don't worry about it. You won't be troubled with it. He won't bother you at all. You'll regret it someday. Amen. So thank God for assurance. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.